This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The Science Fiction Podcast, with original independent science fiction, written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma, are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. We've got Chapter 82, The Star Seeds of Earth, on the way on this episode. Well, Justin Spears snapped at Hap at just the wrong time, and Hap accidentally crushed his head with his mind. So now, no middleman. No handler. We've just got Hap versus Alibi. And of course, Hap has two people helping him out. So Emily has decided, and Kit, to alter themselves. And Alibi's just discovered this because Hap figured it out. He could sense it. So it looks like it may be 3-on-3 as opposed to 1-on-1. The showdown begins in Chapter 82. Of the Star Seeds of Earth, on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Don't have a whole lot of news to fill you in on this week, and it is a pretty long chapter, so I'm not going to spend too much time here talking about other stuff. I will just say the voices, guest voices, cameos for the Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition are coming in, which is awesome. So I've got some news for patrons, and I will have news for the rest of you very soon. If you want to become a patron, just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, and you can become a patron for $2, $5, or $10 a month and help support my efforts here. Paul just became one at a $10 level, so thank you, Paul. That was pretty cool. And again, if you want to become a patron, go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. If you want more details on any of my books or anything, just head to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. On the way next, we've got Chapter 82 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's called Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Now, here's Chapter 82 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Three on three, Emily said, as she walked into the corridor. Alibi turned to look. She'd been changed. Emily had been physically altered by the substance, bulked up. She had always been fit but wiry. Now, she seemed a little bigger overall, as if she'd been at the gym for 6 months straight in the last half hour. I used it, she said.
Figured that out, Alibi said.
A shadow filled the door behind her, a walking 6.5-foot tall,
mangy mound of fur followed. A huge Dakur? Kit? As it walked up behind Emily, it opened a large fanged mouth and roared. It raised longer, more articulate claws than the usual Dakur, and combed back hair from its eyes and face, giving it a mane. If it was Kit, he now seemed a thing half-man, half-lion, glaring down at them with wild, feral eyes. Kit? Alibi said. Kit said. Uh-oh. I think the process broke his translator, Emily said, and turned him into a Sasquatch. Alibi felt a little relieved, tiny, small, little bit relieved, but not for long. Kit growled. He sounds angry. He doesn't like being called a Sasquatch, Emily said. Figured out that much anyway. I don't think he knows what it means, just doesn't like it. We never know what God's gift will do to us, do we? Hap said, drawing their attention. Take Martin and Tina here. Both of them have enormous gifts through their minds, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Martin can see down inside you to your soul, and if he sees you are unclean, he can purify you. Unfortunately, you're then brain dead, but you go to God as one of his angels. I'm sure you do, Alibi said. But Tina here? Hap said. She can move things with the power of the Holy Spirit. Show them, Tina. Tina smiled, raised her hands in front of her on each side, and made a flinging motion. A blast of force rocked Alibi into the side wall. As he got up, he saw Kit had been bowled back. But Emily still stood in place. I didn't see anything when she did that. It is another, different kind of manifestation. This is a rare gift, Hap said. But we did have a couple who were gifted. Poor Tina here can't do it too often. She gets tired. It is very tiring. He looked them over, Alibi, Emily, and Kit. So you think it's a fair fight now, do you? I do, Emily said. Or not. You don't know what we can do now, do you? She asked, in subtle mockery. I didn't feel a thing. It turned you into stone then, did it? Hap said. Maybe it's because you're a bodybuilder. Oh, this? She said, flexing her arms. This is all new. Feels pretty good, actually. It did that? Hap said with genuine surprise. I've never seen it make physical alterations like that. No? Emily said. Well, look at him. He's a Dakur, or was. Kit growled. Oh, Hap said, surprised. I've only seen it alter heads and minds. Dosage, purity, mindset, and setting. Each of these things matters as you undergo the transformation, the knowledge base instructed Alibi. Maybe we each get what we want out of it, Alibi said. Or what we need, Emily said. If one seeks warriors of the mind, one gets warriors of the mind. If one seeks to protect and defend, one gets greater gifts to protect and defend. If one seeks greater size, strength, and ferocity, these things can also come one's way. Can any of the others hear you, KB? No. Others have not yet been given access to the knowledge base in raw form. I instruct them in other ways. So, why didn't I bulk up like Emily? You sought to do more than merely protect and defend. I did? Of course. You sought to be a savior.
What?
One who saves a great many people. That is not a savior? One who saves? Not the exact meaning, no. You required greater gifts. And you had already been given one gift, which signaled your appropriateness. My inner library card, huh?
Who's that? Emily asked, pointing at Spears' corpse. Justin Spears, Alibi said. He came here to kill me. So you beat him to it? She asked. Nah, Hap did that, Alibi said. Little argument they had between them. Wow, she said. You play rough, Hap. Then she frowned. Well, if he was here to kill you, Alibi, guess I'm glad he's dead. Thanks, Hap?
Do not thank me, Hap said.
Now that they've been altered, can I speak mind to mind with Emily and Kit?
Emily, no. Hers is more of a physical change, though she now has incredible inherent shields and quite a strong personal invulnerability field. Kit, you may be able to reach once he settles a bit. There is too much chaos in him now, however.
Good to know.
You can also speak with Hap.
Really?
You have before, whether you realized it or not.
While the exchange of thoughts took mere seconds, Alibi kept his attention trained on Hap, lest he pull something. Emily was working him up, not necessarily a good thing. Ask Spears.
We've got a bigger problem than these three, Alibi said. According to Spears and Hap, there's a combined Solar Alliance and Greater Toph fleet out there, waiting for us to exit the asteroid field.
I know, she said.
You do? How?
They've started blasting at rocks to clear a path toward us, she said. I guess we weren't moving fast enough. But they must have dropped shields or something because, all of a sudden, there they were, firing away at asteroids. A couple of really big ships, too.
Great, Alibi said.
That's what made me decide to, you know, she said, looking down at her bulkier self. The odds were getting more and more stacked against us.
I know. Alibi said.
Kit pushed past Emily and walked up to Alibi. It was strange to be looking up at him. Alibi looked him in the eyes. There was some of the Kit he remembered there, but not too much. There was a wildness instead. And fear.
I wish you could hear me, my friend.
I hear you, Alibi Jones, in my mind.
Some of the feral wildness eased, as Kit relaxed for the first time since Alibi had seen him altered.
You have been changed by the starseed substance.
Yes, quite a bit. And my translator no longer understands me. And I am not in complete control, Alibi Jones. I will be dangerous. Be careful.
I will be. Kit broke off the eye-to-eye contact. He turned to assess Hap and his companions.
Kit?
No response.
Guess I'll need to be in close contact with him for that to work.
Correct.
Thank you, KB.
A low growl began building in the back of Kit's throat.
Kit has given you access. That means you can shield him.
What, like I did the other two? Why?
No, a defensive shield. To protect him.
I can? How?
You know how.
And Alibi found that he did. It was almost the inverse of the other shields, as he thought it into existence over Kit's head. He infused it with a quantity of mind water and sealed it off, independent.
You are learning.
What did you just do? Hap said. I could feel something weird. You did something, Alibi. Stop doing things with your mind!
Can't help it, Alibi said. My mind is always going, doing stuff, you know? Kit started walking toward Hap.
What is he doing? Hap asked Alibi.
I don't know, Alibi said. Ask him.
Kit said.
Hap backed away from Kit as he approached, drawing even with his two followers, then falling a little behind them. Kit looked from Hap to Martin to Tina. Then, Kit looked back at Alibi and Emily. There was more of the old Kit in his eyes, but more wildness in them as well. He turned back to the trio in front of him.
Kit jumped. He was on Martin in less than a heartbeat, knocking him down and landing on top of him, slashing down with sharp claws at the man's face and chest.
Martin managed to cry as he succumbed to Kit's claws. Tina turned to push Kit off Martin.
She made pushing moves in front of her in the air, but Alibi's shield protected him. Kit didn't budge from his slashing. Tina had to turn and defend herself as Emily neared. Tina did more pushing, but Emily seemed immune too. "This isn't fair!" Tina yelled as Emily closed in. Alibi stopped noticing any of this. He and Hap grew locked, mind to mind. In trying to pierce each other's shields and attack, they'd become entangled. Though they stared at each other in the corridor, the real action was on the imaginal plane within. The entanglement surrounded him like weeds, so Alibi began hacking through them with a mental machete, trying to find a clearing. A space opened up as the jungle around him subsided, and Hap strode into view. "Where are we?" Hap asked as he approached. "Inside our minds," Alibi said. "Yours or mine?" "Both, I think," Alibi said. "And neither. The space in between." Hap looked around. "What does it look like to you?" he asked Alibi. "A jungle, I guess," Alibi said. "Maybe a rainforest? What about you?" "Huh. The Roman Colosseum, maybe?" Hap said. "Like ancient ruins, with an invisible crowd. Spectator ghosts." "That's different," Alibi said. "The ancient Christians were thrown to the lions here," Hap said. "Interesting." "Not here," Alibi said. "Jungle, remember?" "Do you feel the eyes?" Hap asked. "Who watches?" "I don't. Feel eyes, I mean. No watchers." "This is a strange place," Hap said. "It feels wrong." "I don't know. It's kind of like being in a Garden of Eden," Alibi said. "Which reminds me, didn't Adam and Eve get thrown out of the Garden of Eden for eating apples off the Tree of Knowledge? Didn't that make you wonder at all about your new sacrament that gave you knowledge?" "Still looks like ruins to me," Hap said, ignoring him. "Didn't God get mad at Adam and Eve for trying to be like God?" Alibi asked. "What are you doing? What knowledge have you gained? And you really see a jungle?" "Maybe there's some knowledge we shouldn't have," Alibi said. "That makes me the man who knew too much, then?" Hap said, finally engaging. "You're certainly the man who talks too much." "Too much knowledge, too much rope," Alibi said. "Too much information." "Why hold back?" Hap asked. "Why stymie and stifle potential, Alibi? Why not adapt and change and live into new tomorrows? Live out our God-given potential." "But what if the lesson of the Garden of Eden is that there is some knowledge that we shouldn't have?" Alibi asked. "Can you really know too much?" Hap said. "Maybe." "You're a fool, Alibi," Hap said. "Look at you. I can see it. You could tap into the source in ways I can't. But you hold yourself back. You don't know how powerful you are. You could stop Constantine, the Greater Ta, all of this, with your mind. But you won't." "Just because we can do something doesn't mean we should," Alibi said. "Spare me the platitudes," Hap said. "You're scared. That holds you back. Everything else is just excuses." Hap turned away from him for a moment. As he turned back, he grew in height by 10 feet, towering over Alibi. "This is why you lose." Hap brought his giant right palm down on Alibi, as if swatting a gnat. Whoom! The hand passed through Alibi. "Damn it," Hap said, now back to normal height. Alibi remained silent. He had been thinking of a way to make the personal shield he'd used on the other two stronger. It might hold Hap. "What are you doing?" Hap said. "I can see you drawing on power." It was true. Alibi was letting the mind water flow up and into him, empowering him. "Thinking," Alibi said. As Alibi drew in the mind water, he could feel the others around them. Though they didn't appear in this imaginal space Hap and he were conversing in, Alibi could feel them all the same. The chaos of Kit. The bright beacon shining. That was Emily, still bright as ever, undimmed by her transformation. By contrast, the oily, polluted mind water of Hap and his woman follower were floating masses of wrongness, like clots of wastewater loose in zero-G, to be avoided if possible. Not possible, Alibi said, the thought simply manifesting. What, Hap said, to stop me? Correct. Let's see, he grinned. I can still feel almost all the people on your base here through Tina's links and the lingering touch of Martin's mind. And if I reach out just so... Yes. Hap's eyes rolled up back in his head for a moment. Then he came back to himself. Whoa, he said. That was a reach. But I can't touch them all, Alibi, and that means I can kill them all. Not all at once or instantly. If I had more of my people still alive, we could have made it merciful. Now, if I have to do it, it's gonna hurt. Waves of pain. You're lying, Alibi said. You'd really gamble on that, Hap said. You don't have to. Reach out. Touch my mind for a moment and see that I am connected to them all. And know that if you try anything as you do, they all die. Alibi reached out with his mind, trying to feel out the contours of Hap's defenses as he did. Don't do that, Hap said with a frown. Whatever you're doing, just a touch, nothing more. Sorry, Alibi said. Having pulled back, this time he extended the merest feeler of mind, just a touch. In the murky, reflecting pool of Hap's mind, he could see the lights of the people of the Hornet's Nest. So many lights. He might not be touching them all, but he was in touch with so many, it didn't matter. Alibi pulled back. He felt a strange spark leap back from Hap with him. What was that? Now you know, Hap said. KB, how do I stop him? No answer. Alibi wondered if Hap would hear the knowledge base here in this imaginal space. That could be why it stayed quiet. It was damned inconvenient. Great, Alibi said. So, you can hold the entire place hostage. What do you want? Peace, Hap said. Law and order. Meaning? Surrender, Hap said. You surrender and agree to tell your people to give in to the Solar Alliance and the Greater Ta peacefully. They come in, take over, no one gets hurt. What about me? Alibi said. I get you, Hap said. Part of my deal with Constantine. You come back to Fortuna, live with your mother and me. You'll be fine. While Ruth lives. After she's gone, well, no guarantees, you know? Alibi stared at Hap. Would the new shield restrain him? Life has no guarantees, does it? Alibi said. What are you doing? Hap said. Stop it! You know I can tell when you're... Alibi brought the shield down over Hap. Hey, you can't! Hap said. Then nothing more. He tried to speak, but no sound came out. He is somewhat shielded. That is why he can't speak here now. KB, where were you? I cannot communicate with you alone in this space, unless he is shielded. So I did it. Somewhat. He is still here. That shows you his power, and that it remains. In fact, it is probably building up inside of your shield right now. That will be dangerous. Dangerous? What do I do? Take it off him? No, it is too late. He will erupt when freed. The results could be catastrophic to unprotected minds around him. Shit, I need to get him out of here then. Not him, just his mind. But yes, far away from other minds. What should I do? Get him to chase you. Hap realized Alibi couldn't hear what he'd been saying and stopped trying to talk. He lunged at Alibi. Alibi dodged Hap and then decided in this imaginal realm, in this quasi-jungle, he knew how to fly. Alibi leapt into the air and began flying. He aimed for the sun. Jungle has a sun? And the hornet's nest orbits our own star. Gotta be a true direction even on this plane. The jungle, indeed, gave way to a familiar field of stars, and Alibi found himself cruising by the star the hornet's nest's asteroid field orbited. He looked back and saw that Hap trailed him, also flying.
How far should we go? Should have gone the other way and checked out the fleet, but did need the star for bearings.
Alibi reached the other side of the star and slowed.
No, further, much further.
The thought voice from KB was faint. Alibi sped back up.
I can no longer speak, but will be with you.
The thought voice of the knowledge base faded out of his mind. Hap, on the other hand, was gaining on him. Alibi felt something tingling on his side, something kind of pulling at him.
He sped up, heading for the edge of the galaxy. Hap was almost on top of him. How was he flying so fast?
Alibi decided he could fly faster and sped up. But the tingle in his side was now an ache. It hurt.
I have a hook in you, half-brother, Hap said.
Alibi noted he could hear him again. That couldn't be good. His shield was weakening. They needed to be further away from people. Alibi looked back, and Hap grinned and yanked the air as if pulling on an invisible rope. Alibi's side lit up with fire.
Hap had hooked him? How? What did that mean?
Now you'll never get loose from me!
Fuck that.
That was Chapter 82 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, Emily and Kit are now forever changed. Emily all bulked up and Kit wild and bigger and feral. And Hap versus Alibi in the jungle or Colosseum. It's interesting what each of them saw. You'll have to come back and discover if Alibi can indeed get away from Hap, who's hooked him. That'll be in Chapter 83 of The Star Seeds of Earth. Next time on Glow in the Dark Radio. If you want to help support this podcast, please go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and become a $2, $5, or $10 a month member. Any bit helps. It's awesome. Thank you, everybody who is a patron. I've got a few now, which is awesome. It's helping to keep the lights on and all that. And if you want free books or samples, or you want to see some of the stone chambers I've been researching, you can go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. And that is all for this time. I am your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at acompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and MikeLuoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.